Mark chapter number 4 tonight. The Gospel of Mark chapter number 4. We'll be looking at another great question in the Bible. Actually, there's two different questions inside this passage of Scripture. One is man asking God a question, and the other one is God asking man a question, or Jesus responding to that question or that need. Mark chapter number 4, it's a little bit of a familiar story. I think there's some wonderful truths that we can grab from tonight, some things to take on, especially with the day and times that we're living in. The first question is what man asked Jesus. The storm came, Jesus had fallen asleep, and they go over and they wake him up and they ask this question, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And I always thought that question was kind of interesting. It's like you're asking God, "Hey, don't you care about me?" But, you know, this is Jesus. You imagine in the story, once again, they have traveled with him. They've been with him for a little while, and they've experienced him. They experienced his ministry. They've seen the miracles, and they're coming to the spot, and they're waking him up and saying, "Oh, don't you even care that we're dying here?" And the obvious answer is, yes, he cares. And why else is he here in this world? Why did he leave the glories of heaven to come down to this world to die for the sins of mankind? The whole reason why he came was because he cared. And then Jesus responds, and he asks these two questions. First, he says, "Why are ye so fearful?" And then the second one, "How is it that ye have no faith?" And I wonder, with all the things that are happening in the world today, we come and we hear these two questions. The resounding questions are, you know, why are you so fearful, number one, and how is it that you have no faith, is number two. But there are people out there that sees the things that are happening, and they're asking this question to God. And once again, I don't think God minds our questions as long as we're willing to receive the answer. I don't mind anyone asking me a question if the question is there on purpose so they can learn something from asking that question. Now, I'm annoyed by people that ask questions just to try to prove a point or to just try to cause problems. But at the same time, these guys are coming to Jesus, they're waking him up, and they're saying, "Carest thou not that we perish?" They're like, "We're dying out here, and you're here and you're asleep." And the answer is, of course he cares. But how many times do we ask? How many times do we think this? How many times do we say, "Doesn't God see what we're doing? Doesn't God see what we're going through? Doesn't God see what we're experiencing? Does he not even care about what's happening?" And the obvious answer is, of course, yes, he does care. And that's when the response to that question is, how is it that you have no faith? Or how is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? What are you so afraid of? And so let's look at this. And this is an interesting story. I love the miracles of the Bible, because the miracles of the Bible teach us that God can do anything and how God helps people many times. And throughout all this, we can be learning who he is and learning more about him. The trials and storms of life draws us closer to him. If we allow it to, the trials and storms of life teach us more about him than we knew beforehand. And that's what's going to happen at the end. At the end, you see where it says in verse 41, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" They had a new proper perspective of God that they would have never had if the storm never came. And I'm praying that as we give through all the things that we're going through, and if the world ever turns back to being normal and back to this normalcy, that we go back and we have a new respect and a new understanding of God, and we're fearful, not in the fact that we're fearful, like it says in verse number 40, "Why are you so fearful?" But instead, in verse 41, "They feared exceedingly." There's two different words that are given there. That word "fearful" is saying, "Why are you so timid? Why are you scared? Why are you frightened?" But in verse 41, it's saying "they feared exceedingly" means that they stood in awe and took a step back, and no longer were they worried or timid because of the storm, but they held in such a high respect and honor what Jesus was able to do. They were in awe of the fact that the winds and the seas, they stopped just like that. And what an amazing thought that is. And that's what happened. This would have never happened if this storm never happened. They would have never experienced that or seen that or came to this thought, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They saw him in a new light. They had a new understanding of him and had a greater respect for him. Now, they were going to face the obstacles. They were going to face hardships. The men that were on this boat with them were people who were going to be turning the world upside down for the Lord later on. And they needed to see this and understand this to have a greater respect for him. Let's go ahead and jump in here. Mark chapter number 4. Let's look in verse number 35. And it says, "And the same day when the evening was coming," they had just had a long day. They had the teaching and the Jesus healing. And they were coming to the spot. And it was the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And I want you to remember this, that Jesus is telling them, "Hey, look, we're going to make it over to the other side." Now, halfway through the trip, they're saying, "Carest thou not, we perish." They're forgetting what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Hey, look, we're going to make it to the other side." And if Jesus says we're going to make it to the other side, guess what we're going to do? We're going to make it to the other side. And so when you're thinking about this, this is where faith is involved. Yes, there's a storm that comes up, but instead, Jesus says you're going to get from point A to point B. There is nothing going to stop you from getting to point A to point B. And someday when Jesus said, "Hey, you're going to be with me in glory, someday you're going to be with me in heaven," you know what? There's nothing that's going to stop us from point A to point B. If he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Yes, there may be trials, and yes, there may be storms, and yes, there may be hardships along the way, but you know what? We're going to get there. Praise the Lord for that. Let's keep on going. He says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "What manner of man is this, that even the sun and the wind," the wind and the sea obey him? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us increase our faith tonight. Help us to see you in a new light once again. Help us to behold our God. And Lord, help us to see that who you are and understand the truth that's involved with the promises that you've given us. And as we take you as you are, you're going to be there for us. And Lord, you're going to maybe not cause a storm to stop, but instead you've promised that you're going to be with us through the storm. Lord, help us to remind ourselves and continue to remind ourselves what you are capable of doing, and that you do care and that you do love. And even though it might seem like you don't care about what's happening today, we know all too better than that. Lord, thank you for loving us. Help us today. Encourage us and strengthen our faith tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's four things tonight. The first thing I want you to think about, and this is kind of an interesting phrase as I was studying, looking at it, and reading, I came across, and the point number one is they're taking. You say, what do you see in that? Well, look what it says in verse number 35 and 36. It says, "In the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude," and I have marked this phrase in my Bible, "they took him even as he was." And so they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. Now, I think that phrase is interesting. It's something that I thought about and considered for a little while. They took him as he was. You know what? When they took Jesus in the ship, you know, they didn't know what they had. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you bring somebody along, you don't know what to expect. You don't really know what they're going to offer. You don't know how much help they're going to be. Sometimes I've been surprised of somebody, and even I must admit that even with some of our young people, and especially, you know, being around my sons, I'm talking about something I need to get done, and they might say, "Well, I can do that." I'm thinking, "Yeah, right." Like, where did you learn how to do that? Whether it's at college or school for somebody else, I don't think they really know what they're doing. And then I ask, you know, and some of the other young people, "Yeah, I can handle that," or "I can do that." And I'm thinking, wow, that's a surprise. I didn't know they had that talent. I didn't know they had that ability. I didn't know they could help in that way. And sometimes after seeing them do things, it's like, wow, they're growing up. They had some skills there that I didn't even realize. Then there's other people who I think is going to be a great help and a great blessing, who's going to help me accomplish a lot of great things, and that they're a dud. They don't help very much. And I'm not picking on anybody. We all have our own skills. We all have our own talents. We all have our own abilities. And there have been times when I've been pumped up to try to accomplish something and do something, all too well to find out that I can't do it, or I shouldn't have done it, or somebody else could have done it much better. When they said they took him as he was, when he entered into this boat, they received him in their boat, and there is a great value to welcoming Christ into your life for who he is. You know what he is? He is the Lord God of the universe. And when they took him in the boat, they didn't realize at this point in time that he's the guy that can calm the storms. He's the guy that can calm the winds and he calms the seas. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God that believe on his name. They're going to find out that what the person they took in is so much more than they could have ever imagined. I don't know about you. Is this true about you? But I know in my Christian life, the more I get closer to God, the more I learn to love and trust in the Lord, he can help me more than I ever imagined. He can be so much more to me. He can teach me so much more. I can grow closer to him. I can see him work. And I've seen him do things in my life and do things in other people's life that I never, ever thought imagined. You think about it. That verse that talks about more than we ever asked or thought. That's truth. And they took him as he is. That means that they took him in the boat, and they knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was the Son of God, but they didn't realize what power he really had. And sometimes I think that's what we have in our own life. We've believed, we've accepted, but inside us he has so much that he's capable and so much that he wants to do. But we took him as he is, but we're not trusting him like we could. And so here, you see here, the taking. You think about this. I like this verse in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And what it's saying here is, through faith, we can have the presence of God and know that God is on our side, and we take him as he is. And as we take him as he is, we know he's coming with us, and we can trust in him. He's God. I think we forget that. When we become fearful, we forget that. The reason why fear and faith are so much put together is because when you have a lot of fear, you only have a little bit of faith. When you have a lot of faith, you only have a little bit of fear. And what true faith is doing what we're supposed to do, even though we may be fearful about something. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, so take him as he is. And then once again, that's the only way you get him. I understand that. You're not going to get more of the Holy Spirit later on. You're not going to get more of Jesus later on. You're going to understand him more and love him more and trust him more. At the end of the story, they took him as he is because they knew who he was. He was going to go on the ship. He says, let's go on the other side. Okay, Lord, we're trusting you in that. But after this whole thing happens, they look at him and go, whoa. That's not, I didn't know what we had in this boat. I didn't have to worry. I didn't have to fear. There's a guy on this boat that can calm the storms, that can calm the seas, and he can do it just like that. Do you not think that God could come and he could fix the situation that we're in just like that if he wanted to? And I praise the Lord. He's able and capable. It's their taking. The second thing I want you to think about is their trying. They're trying. And I see this in verse number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, I think about their trying here, and I can imagine, and maybe you can picture along with me, the storm that's going on. And these men, many times, they're known for growing up as fishermen. They're used to storms. And if they're afraid, there's a real problem. If they're waking Jesus up saying, carest thou not that we perish? You know what? There is a problem. This storm is great. And this location about the Sea of Galilee, and I'll give you a little history there when it talks about it. It says, storms of great magnitude would not have been uncommon on the Sea of Galilee. It's about 700 feet below sea level. It's nestled between hills that peak up to 1,500 above sea level. Given the right weather conditions, the cold air rushing down from the mountains collides with the hot air, making it its way up. And the sea forms a funnel that can create incredible storms almost instantaneously. Now, when you say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? They're trying. I'm talking about the fact that they're trying to keep this boat afloat. They're trying to keep this boat without sinking. They're doing whatever they can. They're working really hard. They didn't run to Jesus and say, hey, we're perishing just because they saw a raindrop. It says the boat was taking water in. It says that they were really, truly in peril. But they were trying and they were working hard. But inside their own strength, they found something out. They just couldn't do it. Inside their own strength, inside their own talents, inside their own abilities, inside the fact that they had experience, the fact that they knew what they were doing, they couldn't handle it. Things quickly went from bad to worse, and now they're hopeless. I don't know about you, but there is nothing more frustrating or frightening in life than facing a storm, giving it your best, and then still coming up short. You ever done that? You've worked really hard. You did everything you could. You could not have given any more energy, any more resources. You put it all in, and you still came up short. That's what these men are trying. They're trying. But they had already accepted in who it was that could help them. They had a resource that was there. So when you think about it, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our children, whether it's our finances, whether it's the craziness going on in our country, we've all had times we had no idea what to do next. But the storms are a great reminder from God that no matter how great our talents are, no matter how much experience we have and how much ability we have, we still desperately need them. And that's what they're going to learn here. They could have taken care of this storm themselves. They would have been, whoo, we saved Jesus. we took care of everything. Everything's fine. Everything's good. I'm glad we were here. I'm glad, Peter, you were here, and James and John. You have all this experience. But no. They were trying, and they learned an important truth that's found, for without me, you can do nothing. They learned something that day is that, you know what, without Jesus, we would all perish. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says it this way, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And when we get to this understanding and we understand who we've taken in and we get tired of our trying, remember, God is able to do so much more with us when we allow him to work through us. And yes, that does not mean that we're lazy. That does not mean that we don't work hard. No, I think if you go and you look at the first century church, they were ones that worked hard. And they were ones that served. And they were the ones that kept on going and going. They went to church all the time. They went and they spread out the gospel everywhere. They were not lazy, but they didn't do it in their own power. They did it in his strength. They relied upon him because he was sufficient for them. The third thing I want you to see, not only is they're taking him in as he is, they're trying. The story, I see they're turning. Look what it says in verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? While all this is happening, Jesus is still sound asleep in the back of the boat. He's probably tired from the long day of ministry. How ironic is the answer of the disciples' problem was with them the entire time. But they failed to turn to him. And when they finally did turn to him, they questioned him and they said, don't you care about what's happening? You know, they could have went to him at any point in time. They could have just trusted him and realized. And yeah, obviously they need to try to keep the ship afloat. Obviously they don't need to be lazy when it comes to the thing. But he was the one that had said already, let us pass to the other side. The greater question there would have been, hey, Christ, I know you said we're going to the other side. We can't do this on our own. We need your help. And that's what we got to come to this realization in our lives. Okay, Lord, you told us that we're going to go to get to the other side, but we can be victorious. We can have a life of peace. We can have a life of victory. We can have this. And what we need to do is learn to turn to him, but not in fear, not saying, don't you even care about me, but instead, Lord, help me here. I need you. I can't see how I'm going to make it through this. I don't see where I'm learning and growing. Lord, show me, teach me these things. We need to turn to him and depend upon him. But there's a difference between turning to him in faith and trust and turning to him with fear. And that's where you come to the spot where he says in verse number 40, he asks them, why are you so fearful? Now, it wasn't the fact that the sailors here or the shipmen, they were afraid for their life. But being afraid for their life and knowing that God's in control is two different things. When do you turn to him? And more importantly, how do you turn to him? From the ship, they cry, hey, we don't even see that you care. Often when we go through life trying to make things work on our own during the storms of life, we realize that victory never comes until we turn it over to the Lord. So that's the thing, is that they've taken in the master, the God of the universe. Now they're trying and they're trying and trying. They realize they fail and they see that their fruits and they see that their labors isn't working. So they turn to a God and they ask to God and say, don't you even care what's happening to me? And the reality is, yes, of course he cares. Now, how are you going to turn to him tonight? You see all the things that are happening, whether it's in your marriage or whether it's how to be a good father here on Father's Day or whether it's what's going on in our country or how to respond to all the different tragedies that are happening across this whole entire country. You're like, how? What am I supposed to do? We're going to turn to God and our response isn't going to be, Lord, do you even care about us? Instead, we're going to say, Lord, we know that you care about us. Give us direction and help us to trust in you. The fourth thing, and it's they're trusting. The Bible says here in verse number 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind. That rebuke is used a number of times in speaking to demons. It's reserved for demons. It gives the idea that there is more to this storm than meets the eye. It gives the idea that the Satan was actually behind the storm. And only after Jesus deals with the greater storm that was taking place in the heart of his followers, he turns to them and he says, are you going to learn something from this? You know, once again, carest thou not that we perish. Jesus could have walked right back, went on his pillow, went back to sleep, and they would have learned something, but they wouldn't have learned everything they could. He asked them a question. He says, why are you so fearful? What has caused you to be so timid? What has caused you to be so scared? What has caused you to have so much anxiety? And I think you could ask this to many of our questions to us today and say, what are you so afraid of? Why are you so fearful today? What is it that you're afraid of? And he's there. He can calm the storm. And that's why he says, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And I don't think it's just the idea that the wind and the waves would obey him, but it's the fact that they happened so immediately. Essentially, Jesus was asking his disciples, don't you trust me? And sometimes when we deal with our fear, it's like Jesus is saying, why are you so fearful? Don't you even trust me? And then he says, how is it that you have no faith? See, Jesus didn't want to just discuss their faith. He wanted to develop their faith. And I think he's always trying to help us increase and grow in our knowledge and knowledge and grace and faith. I think he always wants us to be learning, always wants us to be increasing, always wants us to take those steps of faith. He doesn't want us to stay stagnant. He doesn't want us to stay where we're at. Yes, we are supposed to be steadfast and unmovable in our work of the Lord, but yes, we should be growing in our grace and growing in our faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He allows the storm to reveal something to them. They were insufficient. They needed to learn that he is sufficient. He never promises that he'll take us out of the storm, but he does promise us that he will be with us in the midst of the storm. So where's our trusting coming at? During today and the things that are happening, would that question be asked of you? Would Jesus come to you and say, where is your faith? Or why are you so fearful? Or even, how is it that you have no faith? As I'm wondering, in the day and time that we live in, what is coming over our hearts? What is ruling in our lives? Are we taking steps that walk by faith? Or are we taking steps to show that we walk by fear? I encourage you tonight to get a fresh glimpse of what the disciples saw. Get a fresh look at what the disciples saw. It says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They saw something, they experienced something, they gave it over to him, and he showed himself to be true. He showed himself to be strong. He showed himself to be real. And you know what happens? They walk away saying, wow, we serve a great God. Wow, look at what he can do. He can even do this. Well, it never happened if we didn't live by faith. Wouldn't have ever happened if they would just remain silent. It would have never happened if they did not take and accept him and turn to him. Now, tonight, I'm wondering, how is it that you have no faith? I'm wondering why there are so many people that are claiming to be believers today that are being fearful or living in fear or act by their actions like they're living in fear. Jesus is looking at them and saying, how is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? And there are so many people saying, don't you even care about me, God? Of course he does. He died for you. He gave us his word. He gave us prayer. He gave us his spirit. He speaks about his love over and over. You know, we can cast our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I know there's a lot of people experiencing a lot of difficulties and a lot of people that are going through stormy waters right now. A lot of people who are saying, I wonder if God even knows. I wonder if God even cares. I wonder what God is even doing. And it's sort of like those disciples coming and saying, Carest thou not that we perish? Remember, Jesus said, hey, let's go on to the other side. And remember, Jesus is saying, hey, look, let's go on to the other side. Now, through that journey that we're going on, through that race that we're running as we walk with him, there are going to be trials, there are going to be storms, there are going to be hardships, there are going to be problems. But we want to walk by faith, and we don't want to question whether or not God loves us. We don't want to question whether or not God cares for us. He's already proven that to us. We already believe that. So let's not act like, carest thou not that we perish? Instead, let's turn to him and say, Lord, I'm willing to go through this with you. I'm here. God, help me see what you're trying to show me and teach me. So tonight, are you at your wits' end? There's a verse in the Bible, some verses in the Bible in Psalms 107 that puts it this way. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. There are some people that are just at their wits' end and they have no idea what they're going to do next. And they're crying out to God and saying, God, I'm trusting you. Now they're saying, God, don't you even care about what's happening? My life has been turned upside down, and it doesn't even seem like you care. Don't you care that we're hurting, that we're dying? And the answer is, of course he cares. And when you turn to him in faith. Don't turn to him in fear. Don't make him have to teach you another lesson and say, why are you so fearful? How is it that you do not have any faith? Don't make him say those things. Instead, trust in him. Depend upon him. Live a life of faith and take steps of faith that show and reveal unto us that we not only have a God, that we've taken him as he is, but we stand in all of him, and we, as it says in verse 41, fear exceedingly. What manner of man is this? They don't know who God is. Those that are acting crazy, they do not know who God is. We know who he is. Let's make sure we have the right perspective of him. So tonight, are you going to be like in verse number 40, that fearful? Are you going to be where you're timid and scared and full of anxiety? Or are you going to be in verse 41, fearing exceedingly? Not timid, but respecting and standing in awe. Wow, look who God is. I think that's where we should try to get to. Behold your God. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the story. It's a challenge for us sometimes to live by faith, especially when it seems like our world is being turned upside down, especially when it seems like they're attacking so many things that are precious to us, so many things that we just can't control. And Lord, you keep on revealing to us over and over. It's not about us. It's not about our strength. It's not about our abilities. But instead, Lord, it's about how you are sufficient in everything. Lord, I pray that we don't be a people that you have to look to at this storm time and say, why are you so fearful? I pray that you're not having to remind us and asking us the question, where is your faith? But instead, Lord, I pray that we take a good look at you and we live by faith and we trust you. And Lord, that we stand exceedingly fearful because we fear the Lord. Not in that we're afraid of what's going to happen, but instead we stand in awe of you and your power and your presence. Thank you, Lord, for helping us through the storms. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to trust in you. Help us to take you as you are and understand what we have in you. Lord, also help us to not spend our entire life just trying and trying and trying in our own flesh, but instead, Lord, to turn to you and trust in you and allow you to fight our battles and allow you to accomplish what only you can in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.